Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back. Droid Life Show today, episode 129. It is the final show of the year. It's December 30th. I'm Kellen. With me, Tim. Tim, say hi.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Tim here.
So thanks for joining us. As we head into the weekend and get into New Year's and then get into 2017, it's actually kind of crazy to think that this year is already over. But lots going on. Obviously, next week is CES. Tim and I will be there. Daily coverage throughout next week while we're there and stuff like that. We'll talk a little bit about our plans later in the show, but we also just kind of wanted to recap some stuff. Like, we talked about what we think is our phone of the year earlier in the week, or maybe that was last week. I can't even keep track. Some games of the year, just some other 2017 things we maybe expect to see. And then we've also been talking a lot about mesh Wi-Fi router systems and stuff, which is not necessarily something we typically talk about, but that's just what we're doing this week. So, let's talk about all this stuff. Let's first just sort of start talking about some of our favorite things of the year, like phone of the year. So, Tim, was it last week or this week? I really can't.
Last week.
It was last week. Okay. Yeah. So, Tim put together what we would consider to be our, well, it's a short list of our favorite smartphones of the year, I would say. But we obviously gave a winner. Do you want to talk a little bit about who the winner is? Why?
Sure. I mean, I feel like I got to premise it, right? Like we said, this was our favorite Android smartphone of 2016. And we didn't really want to say like number one or anything, because really it was sort of like a five-way tie between, I feel like, a lot of good phones this year. And that was really like my main point, was that like 2016 was really good for phones. And, you know, if the Galaxy Note 7 hadn't been recalled and was a bomb, that phone was the bomb. Like, it was a really good phone.
It was a really good phone, yeah.
I think it could have won, but automatically disqualified for hurting human beings and exploding. So, I know, like, can you believe, like, anyway, so in that post, you know, I gave sort of a rundown of the year, what we got, you know, with Galaxy Note 7 talk, Moto Z and mods, and what Google did with killing off Nexus and giving us the Pixel line. So, there was a lot going on in that post. I highly recommend it. But we did crown like our favorite, and we gave it to the OnePlus 3T. And of course, like, went down to the comments, and everyone was like, what the hell? Like, they were sideswiped out of left field.
They probably all thought Pixel, right? They assumed Pixel.
They all assumed Pixel, but we got them. We like to keep it fresh. So, PH fresh. So, we kept it fresh, went with the OnePlus 3T. We felt that, you know, given the price of $439 unlocked, and, you know, yeah, it doesn't run on Verizon, but, you know, for that free $439, you're getting a really good overall package and experience with that device. You know, a few of the highlights were, of course, you know, the specifications that you're getting for that price, but then, you know, good battery life. And, you know, in that, there's no better phone, you know, in that sub 500 category, and really that's sort of reachable by anyone. You know, if you have the means, you know, by all means, sure, get a Pixel or a Galaxy S7. Those are really good phones too, but, you know, for everyone, for every Android user, the OnePlus 3T, very good phone. So we gave that our favorite. Going down the list, you know, of course, we had Galaxy S7 and S7 Edge. You know, those are sort of, and that's the thing, right? A lot of these phones, S7, S7 Edge, Pixel, Pixel XL, they're sort of, we just label them as one device. So really, it was a three-way tie between these phones. But so S7, S7 Edge, I mean, how you can't really go wrong unless you're a total hater of TouchWiz. Other than that, I mean, those are some of the best phones on the market. Great QHD displays, excellent cameras that maybe only the Pixel beats out in certain cases. Waterproofing, expandable storage. I mean, Samsung really outdid themselves, I think, with the S7, which makes us really excited for the S8 and seeing what they do next. And then, of course, Pixel and Pixel XL. Fantastic Android experience, super smooth. The cameras are phenomenal. Great hardware. I think Google also. And HTC, you know, I mean, they manufactured the devices. We didn't see a lot of Bendgate nonsense or anything like that come this year. So I think everyone did a really good job. I think the only company that may not deserve any credit for 2016, now everyone gets credit. Everyone gets a participation award. But, you know, if we had to, like, slap someone on the wrist and say, you know what, in 2017, you may need to step up your game a bit. And for me, that would be LG. You know, like, I always loved, ever since the G2, I love the G2.
People still talk about the G2. Like, how did we get to where we are now when, like, just 3 years ago or whatever with the G2, it was so good.
Yeah, I don't know what happened though, but now especially with them moving the I liked the placement of the volume up, volume down power button on the backside. I thought that was really cool and like innovative. Now that's completely gone. We only got the fingerprint reader back there, and they went for the module type of implementation with their buddies or friends. And it just, it wasn't all that good. So really hoping for better things from LG as well. Definitely as the HTC. I mean, the HTC 10, I wanted to say, is also a good phone, but it was just sort of lackluster. Didn't really bring anything special to the table. Nice hardware, good feel in hand, good, you know, decent speaker experience, of course, but it just didn't really wow us at all. And it was a little overpriced, I think, for what it was. So, and IP53 water resistant. So don't even splash it. It's just sort of meh. So congratulations to OnePlus, Samsung, and Google, of course. But
the three phones essentially on the list, obviously if you own any of these three, you have a phone of the year candidate. I mean, Pixel, like, I'm using a Pixel now. I'm not using the OnePlus 3T, even though we call that our phone Pixel, of the baby. Year. Yeah, you're using one too. So it's not like it's not like we're saying the Pixel's bad or the Galaxy S7's bad. Honestly, I think they're equally as good as the OnePlus 3T. The bonus the OnePlus 3T gets is that it's only $439. Plus, like, the software experience there, especially once it gets Nougat. Right. Like, if it had Nougat right now, I might be using the OnePlus 3T instead of the Pixel.
Yeah,
I'm just agree. Because, like, I'm an Android elitist. Like, I need to be running newest version of Android if I can. So I'm on the Pixel, but. If the OnePlus 3T was on Nougat, and we sort of thought it was maybe coming by the end of the year, I don't think that's going to happen. I would strongly consider ditching Pixel 4 because the battery life was insane. The software experience I like because they added some just little tweaks here and there that like the Pixel doesn't have or like the S7 may not have. Plus, it's still basically stock Android. OnePlus 3T, it's just overall the package. Plus, with that price... Plus, OnePlus is actually starting to push out pretty decent updates in a pretty decent fashion. So I just don't think you can go wrong. But I think there is a sort of a heavy weight to that price. I mean, $430, that's nuts. $440, I guess. That's nuts. The Pixel, which is, I would say, the camera experience is better. I don't know that overall it's better. It's like 300 more. You know what I mean? Or at least 200 more. If you go XL, it's 300 more. So.
Yeah, it depends on how much you value Google Assistant and the camera experience. I mean, it's not like you're going to be getting terrible shots on the OnePlus 3T. Right. It's just not as good as the Pixel. They're all using Sony sensors, if I'm not mistaken. So,
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Everyone seems to at this point, right?
Exactly. So it really just depends on the tweaking of the software and all that good stuff. So I think Pixel Google gave us a great phone. It's just a little like overpriced, I think, for what it is. I mean, that doesn't even have water resistance, wireless charging, expandable storage. There's a lot of stuff missing from the Pixel. I think I've said that 100 times, but there's a few things missing, important things I might add. So OnePlus 3T overall package, it delivers, especially in terms of like favorite phone of the year. I'd be using it too if my girlfriend didn't steal it from me.
Yeah, like we talked about that a little bit. Like, your girlfriend stole it basically, and she loves it, right? She doesn't want to give it back. And like I said in my OnePlus 3T review, which I actually just said too, if it was running Nougat, I may still be using it. It's right. Just one of those phones, like, and I've gone in between a bunch of phones throughout the year, obviously. And the OnePlus 3T is one of those phones where I said at the end of the review, I don't know that I really want to get rid of this phone. And it's not like I hate
the worst feeling.
Yeah, but. I've used a lot of phones, and a lot of times I go back to one, right? You always find like the phone you really like in the moment, and you go back to those. For most of the year was the S7. Then the Pixels came out and I was like on Pixel for life now. And then the OnePlus 3T popped back up, and then I didn't really want to leave that. So I think these three phones essentially were pretty easy to, I think, to include. But then, yeah, the separator, OnePlus 3T is just, OnePlus did a great job, which is kind of surprising. Last year, they had a pretty terrible year. I mean, they left out NFC because they said no one uses it. You know what I mean? Like, they did some things last year that were pretty questionable.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, that's how quickly things can change, right? I mean, and that's why I'm saying to LG or HTC, like, you never know what's going to happen year to year with these companies. So LG could come back with a killer next year. It's totally possible. Same with HTC. I mean, they've got the means, so...
Yeah, hopefully they do, right?
We want options, you know. It's one of the reasons I love Android. I just love the choice.
It would be great if HTC and LG pushed out two phones where we just went,
oh yeah.
Ooh, I don't know if you know that Galaxy S8 comes out around that same time and we actually go, I don't know which I'm going to, it would be nice to have to actually stop and go, I don't know which one I'm going to go with. But for the last couple of years, it's been like, yeah, S6, yep, S7. Like they were the choice. And you know, they came out at the same time as HTC One M9, HTC 10, LG G5, 4, and 5. Like it was an easy choice to go with Samsung. I felt like I would love for next year it not to be an easy choice.
There you go. I like that. It's a positive note.
Yeah. So yeah, phone of the year. If you hate that, feel free to argue with us. But yeah, that's what we went with. OnePlus 3T. And we're not trying to, we didn't try to do it just to go crazy and be controversial. We actually both decide, like, but we both think it was probably worth phone of the year.
Yeah.
All right, so you you also put together another list of just your favorite games of 2016. You want to talk maybe about a couple of those, or if you had like a favorite game, what you played the most?
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, I'll just name the games I listed. I gave five of his: Pokemon Go, Last Horizon, Aura Lux, Constellations, Exploding Kittens, and Alto's Adventure. And then I had a few honorable mentions in there. You know, but if I had to go favorite, you know, I love Exploding Kittens. It's a really fun game to play with friends and even just strangers that you meet on the game. And of course, you know, Pokemon Go, it's sort of a special thing. I mean, I've loved Pokemon ever since I was in the fourth grade. So that was like 4 years ago. So I had a really good time with Pokemon Go. But I think if I had to give it to one game to be like DL choice of 2016, it'd have to be Alto's Adventure, man. I mean, what a great game. It reminds me a lot of Tiny Wings, you know, a little bit different, but I mean, basic premise with Tiny Wings, you know, you're floating down a hill, you're doing jumps and stuff and collecting llamas. I just really enjoyed the game. I think that, I think Noodle Cake published it, but they aren't the creators of the game. They only published it on Android, but you know, they did a real good job in bringing it to Android because it was an iOS exclusive for a bit. And I think it's a fantastic game. It looks good, sounds good. And I mean, what else is there to say? If you haven't played it,
I put in hours upon hours on Alto's Adventure. And I
and
don't
that's
play
a good sign.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't play many mobile games because I either don't like them or they don't hook me right away or I just act like I'm too busy. This game I played for hours and hours when it first came out.
And that's a good sign because, yeah, typically, I know you played a little bit of Pokemon too, but that was only because I think it was like the hype thing to do and nothing better to do that time of year. But, Alto's
doing it.
Exactly. It's peer pressure. You have to do it. So, I mean, if everyone's smoking crack, you think I'm going to like be the one left out?
Doing it, yeah.
Anyway, Alto's Adventure, definitely a really fun game. And we got a new game on the horizon for Alto's Adventure. So I'm trying to think of the name right off. It is, I know this. Oh, Alto's Odyssey. And that's set to launch in 2017. So
that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, new Alto's. I'm totally stoked. And get hyped.
Definitely. Yeah.
We were
surprised at how many good games there were this year.
Exactly.
Because the year can kind of fly by. And I also feel like with games, I think you always have a good stream, I think, of games. But apps in general, you know, like I think we've all settled into the apps we use every day, and it takes something really, really special for us to like consider swapping an email app or a calendar app or whatever, right? There's not a lot of app innovation left. I don't necessarily think, I hate to say that, I hate to be a downer on innovation, but it's matured so much, people kind of settle in. With games, there could always be a cool game. So it was a good year for games.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, right? When you think about it, like when sort of these new games, I take Flappy Wings, for example, right? Like you never know like what type of stupid idea. Flappy Bird. Yeah, whatever. What idea is going to just totally sweep over the nation? The game became so addicting that the developer had to remove it. I mean,
About that. That's a good TBT right there. Remember when Flappy Wings was so addicting that the developer killed it because he was worried that humanity was too addicted to Flappy Bird?
He was making so much money too. That was ridiculous.
And then he brought it back and everyone's like, dude, you missed out. Yeah. Like, we're done now.
Exactly. The hype was over. It's pretty interesting. It was nice of him to do though. I mean, no one would shut up about that game and I didn't really even enjoy it. Mm. So which was weird. I usually get on those trends pretty good, pretty hard. But that one I hated. I mean, the game is so frustrating, right? It's a terrible game.
Yeah, I did play it a little bit, but not on any sort of level I think that the rest of society did.
No, definitely not. So yeah, props to Alto's Adventure on Best Game of 2016, as voted by me.
So I talked about some other things maybe for 2017. I sort of made the argument that I think 2017 is going to be pretty awesome for Android. And not necessarily based on a bunch of rumors and stuff, just sort of where we were left off in 2016. Like for one, I said, Samsung, we could get a big refresh this year, right? Because we've had in last year, we got the S6, S6 Edge, and that sort of new design language from Samsung. And then this year, they sort of just improved upon that. It's almost like how, you know, Apple goes iPhone, then iPhone S, right? This was kind of the S year. Phones got really good, and they did improve them in some ways and things like that. But it almost feels like this is the refresh year where Samsung could give us something, even though we just talked about we want everyone to be able to compete. Like Samsung may go nuts. Like we're already hearing like all screen display, no physical buttons anymore, maybe moving the fingerprint reader. And they could just go wild and do something really nuts. Plus they kind of have to, maybe after the Note 7 recall, they kind of got to make a big splash. So I think number one, Samsung could do some cool stuff that we maybe aren't expecting just because it seems like refresh year. Then I also made the argument that the next Pixel phones are probably going to be awesome. Like if you weren't a fan of the Pixel phones because you either thought they were too expensive or Google missed out on like water resistance, now they actually have a full like year or cycle to create an awesome phone. Cause we know that Huawei was supposed to make these Pixel phones and then backed out. Right. And then Google ran to HTC and was like, make us a phone quickly. We're running out of time. And they admitted like they ran out of time for things like water resistance. So Pixel phones. So not only a Galaxy refresh, Pixel phones will actually get probably the Pixel phones that Google wanted to make this year, where it has everything like water resistance. And they might just go nuts on design, right? Because we basically just have the One A9, which looks like an iPhone. Next year, we'll actually get a Google phone. And it sucks that it'll be the Pixel 2, but I think that has an opportunity to be awesome. Obviously, we could get a new OnePlus phone. And if OnePlus can grow on the 3T and make a sweet 4, maybe actually throw water resistance in one of their phones, that could be awesome. And then I sort of get the feeling like LG and Motorola and HTC. I know we talk a lot about these guys getting desperate because they've had so many down years. But I think this year, maybe not HTC, because we keep talking about how they should die every year because they can't sell anything and they don't innovate and they don't do anything new. I don't know what they're going to do. But LG, I think, is already, I don't know if they've admitted to it, but I think they're already ditching modules, right? They understand the G5 was a massive flop. But I think they're going to build on some of the benefits or positives of the V20 and come up with a truly premium smartphone. And then I think Motorola, even though the Moto Z we didn't love and the Moto mods that they came out with are kind of flopped, I think they've already said like, we're going to come out with like 3 or 4 Moto mods every quarter. And we're going to obviously continue to do this Moto Z line. And so I think we're seeing those like them mature in that. And we could actually get new Moto phones that'll be legitimate. I don't know. I guess I'm trying to be optimistic about 2017, but I think 2017, because this year was pretty decent in terms of phones. I think next year could be really awesome.
I hope you're right. You know, I'm sort of curious. I don't know if we did this recently, but like, you know, trying to get a feel for how many people actually bought the Moto Z, and if they did, are they using Moto mods? You know, we both reviewed.
Motorola kind of gave us a number, like at least 50 or 60% of people.
Yeah, it was like a high percentage of people actually bought the phone and are using mods. But it seems to me like they haven't really made that big of like an impact, maybe at least in like the blogosphere, tech sphere, and the comments, you know, that we see. I mean, yes, people did buy the phone and do use them, but I guess are people really all that in love with the modularity like concept, and does it really add a lot of value to the phone? I mean, really what these companies do, at least from some of the standpoints I see, is they remove features from a device and then sell it as an accessory. Like, we'll take away your good speakers, but here's an accessory that gives you your good speakers back, and it costs $90. Sorry. Like, it just seems kind of, it's crummy as a, you know, as a consumer, you want a phone that just has everything. And it seems like the modular stuff kind of takes away from that. But I guess to each their own beat of the drum, I suppose. But
yeah, I hope they,
for me personally,
I hope Motorola doesn't sort of go that route. Motorola can't really mess around. I guess they're basically Lenovo now.
Yeah.
I don't think they can really mess around. They've had some rough years, Lenovo, ever since they took over Motorola. They need to do something. They need to do it right, and they need to do it quick. I don't think, like, HTC is just kind of letting themselves fizzle as they really do become this VR company. I don't think Lenovo has something else to, like, bet on. Like, they have to get good at phones. LG is such a massive company, right? They make all this money and all the other stuff they do, like appliances. They can kind of mess around and try to find, but they probably don't want to do it too much longer either. Lenovo, I feel like they really need to, because I think their PC sales are slumping and stuff too, right? Like, no one really buys computers anymore as often or whatever.
Right.
Like, they have to start taking phones seriously. And I think they are with the Moto Z and the module thing. We'll just have to see if they can come up with some ideas that actually stick, right?
Right, absolutely. It's kind of sad, you know, from LG's standpoint. I think, you know, you were right alongside Samsung in terms of, I think, popularity among, like, Android users, you know, especially with the G2, you know, it was really big. But then all of a sudden, Samsung started advancing, like, super quick in comparison to LG and what they were doing in terms of design and things like that. And Samsung has now given us, like, all glass, all metal, like, premium specs and cameras. And it's like LG just could not keep up. And then on top of that, Samsung had bankrolled billions of dollars of U.S. marketing and just now owns the market. Yeah. And, like, the global Android market share is huge in favor of Samsung. So, like, but for LG, right, like you said, I mean, they make a ton of money in different areas too, TVs, appliances, etc. So I think they should probably try and maybe use some of those resources, kind of like Samsung did, maybe get themselves back up. If they've got a contender for 2017, they need to market it and market it real good in the U.S. and maybe everywhere else. Samsung just beat them to the punch, I think, in terms of that.
Yeah, think about how long ago it seems now when we kept complaining about Samsung making plastic cheap phones, right? Like, they made the S4 was their, well, the S3 and 4 were their huge sellers, right? And they were plasticky. And then everyone kind of started thinking about going premium. And then they released the S5, which is one of the cheapest feeling looking phones ever. It was such an obnoxiously gross plastic phone. And they got hammered for it, right? And they listened, like, right away. They listened and said, okay, no more cheap phones. And I think the Note that year might have ditched that and already and then went metal. Wasn't it the Note 4 that first went metal? No. What are we on right now?
No. We're on Note 7 now.
Then we skipped 6, right?
Yeah, we skipped 6. 4,
like, first had metal, and then the Note 5 was also. But anyways, they had a quick turnaround, right? Like, they heard the criticism when we all complained about their plastic cheap crap. And then they were like, okay, well, here's metal phones. Watch, we can do this. And then I think they maybe even hired some new designers. I'm not sure. And then now, like, everyone's catching up to Samsung in terms of quality, it seems like.
Right.
It doesn't seem like that long ago that we were all complaining about the plastic Samsung cheapness.
Yeah, that's right. The Note 4 was actually pretty, it was a pretty decent phone. Yeah, Note 3, I was thinking, was like faux leather and, like, tons of other crap. Faux
notebook, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Note 4 was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, well, we'll see. I'm definitely looking forward to the Note 8. That thing's going to be sweet, maybe. Hopefully.
Yeah, I think next year's going to be sweet. I think next year, in terms of phones, I think we'll see some really good stuff.
I'm staying positive with you.
Yeah. All right, so I gave sort of a tech purchase of the year. Not really like an award. I was just sort of sharing. Like, as I was looking, I was sitting in the office looking around at all the crap I've bought this year. And I went with Eero, which is a home Wi-Fi system, mesh Wi-Fi network system. It's basically Google Wi-Fi, except it came out way before Google Wi-Fi and is way more expensive than Google Wi-Fi because it was one of the first and it was like a startup. Anyway, I sort of labeled my purchase of the year because I'm like this weirdo when it comes to internet connection, and because I'm at home all the time dealing with internet and using it, streaming things, whatever. I notice when my internet goes crappy, and so I've gone through router after router. And this is one of the first systems I've settled into where not only do I get internet everywhere in my house now because I have three of these things running, but I also have like this great app interface, and I think it's one of the coolest technology inventions, or I guess I should say technology just pushed into the consumer realm, because this technology has sort of been around for a while, I think, in like enterprise and that sort of stuff. But as a home technology now, it's awesome. Like, I wish I'd had this for years. I wish everyone could ditch their typical crappy router that they have and buy one of these networking systems. Like, I want to get them for like my family so they can stop complaining to me when their internet dies, so they can just like open an app and fix it. So anyways, that's what I talked about, which kind of leads into what you were going to talk about next, which is Google Wi-Fi, because you're also now in this mesh networking sort of life, and you set up Google Wi-Fi this week. Do you want to talk a little bit about Wi-Fi?
Yeah, I got a little meshy in my house. Set up Google Wi-Fi. I feel like we ordered it a year ago, and it finally arrived, and super stoked on it. Set it up a couple of days ago. And so far, so good. You know, set up, I mean, being Google went simplicity over kind of like advanced functionality, I think, for Google Wi-Fi, which is good, right? I mean, it's very Google-ish. This setup was ridiculously simple. You set up your main kind of Wi-Fi access point where your original router would be, or wherever you want it to be, next to your modem. And so you hook that up, you connect it via Bluetooth to your smartphone, and then it basically just does everything for you. My kind of walkthrough of setting it up was sort of long because I wanted to sort of explain the entire process. But in actuality, setting it up took about like 10, 15 minutes. It was not bad at all. So you set up your first point, you create a new name and password if you want to do that for your network. You don't have to. It's a lot easier not to. And then also, you just set up the additional points. It updates the software from Google. It took about 7 minutes to do that. Reboots. And then, boom, everything got reconnected because I didn't change my network or password. And so far, it's been great. I mean, I'm noticing way better Wi-Fi speeds downstairs because I have my modem and my kind of like the first hub upstairs in the office just because I need that super fast Wi-Fi for all my YouTube and gaming on Xbox and all that good stuff. So it's really been great. I love being able to manage everything through the app. You know, through the app, you open it up, you see how many access points you have, if they're working well. You can speed test everything right from the app. You can see exactly what devices are connected to the access points and how much bandwidth they're using. You know, so if one is kind of eaten up, you're not even using it, you can just shut it or pause the network for that device. So a lot of cool stuff you can do. And especially I'm thinking, like, if you've got kids, I was visiting my sister over the holidays and she has a 13-year-old daughter, and this girl stays up, my niece, she stays up to like 12 a.m., 1 a.m. And I know it's holidays, like she's not in school, she can do whatever, but like she's staying up super late looking at Instagram, Snapchat and all this stuff. I'm like, dude, you know, like I need to get my sister Google Wi-Fi so she can just shut off the Wi-Fi to that girl's iPhone. It's ridiculous. But yeah, so you can pause the network at any time and then keep other devices live. So mommy and daddy's Wi-Fi is fine, but the kids is shut off. It's really cool so far. I haven't had any problems. I've got my Shield Android TV connected via like Ethernet down. So it has now like a wired connection essentially. And so it's very nice. So I can, you know, stream my 4K or UHD content from Google Play if I decide to buy any. But, you know, I can stream like 4K content from Netflix, and I'm not really noticing as long of buffering issues or anything like that when I was on the Wi-Fi. So far, so good. You know, I'm not like a huge IT expert or anything like that, but, you know, just from my standpoint, it was super easy to set up. It's very easy to manage. Highly recommend. I mean, for $299 for the 3-pack, it's sort of like a no-brainer if you're in sort of like the mesh market. There are systems, I will say, kind of like Orbi, you know, that is also rated very well by, you know, like consumer product review websites.
I think Netgear makes that right. Netgear's obviously Netgear, a well Orbi, established name. Yeah,
of course, absolutely. They're an industry leader in that field, world leading expert on Wi-Fi. So there's a lot of good products now in this mesh kind of
everyone's basically area. Making them now.
Exactly. I will say there was one thing that my friend, he is an IT guy and total nerd, but he brought up to me one thing that Orbi has, I think, that Google Wi-Fi doesn't. And what Orbi has is, I think it's a sub channel or like a sub band that allows the devices to talk to one another without using the actual band that your devices are on. So your speed for the smartphones and tablets and whatever else is not affected by the communication that's taking place with the Wi-Fi points. It's kind of like a sub channel, which I thought was interesting. I tried to research it, but I'm totally illiterate. So it was really hard.
That's super IT nerd stuff, but cool.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's good to know that stuff. But so far, I haven't had any problems. So I'm just going to relay that to him because he's always curious about that stuff. And I get all the toys and he gets nothing. So, but yeah, so far so good. If anyone has any questions about Google Wi-Fi, feel free to look at that post that I just put up yesterday. And a lot of people were asking questions, and I love that about the Joy Life community. Everyone was trying to help each other out and answer each other's questions, and that was great.
Oh yeah, there's way smarter networking people in that community than you and I. That's for sure.
Exactly, and they took the honor of answering some of the questions for us. That's awesome. That was very nice of them.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're all into this, you and I, like at the same time, this little mesh networking thing. I think it's great, and I think the future as it goes there is cool. And I think one of the reasons I like it so much is that I'm a big smart home fan, right? And so this just fits right into the modern smartphone or smart home. It's just like another piece to it. Like Eero, for example, you can control it if you have an Amazon Echo. You can pause it, have it find other devices connected to it and things like that. And so I think Google Wi-Fi will probably get some of that through the assistant, Google Home and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just one of those things. If you're trying to build a smart home, you may want to consider one of these options like Eero or Google Wi-Fi because they will just sort of fit right into your smart home, which is cool to think about for the future anyway.
Yeah, well, most definitely. It is the future.
Yep. All right. So we also this week, here's some actual news for you. We have CAD renders of potential future phones. So LG G6 and maybe a new Moto X. So these renders, they're based off of basically schematics of what a phone is going to look like that goes out to, like, say, a case manufacturer. And then that case manufacturer knows exactly what this phone will be shaped like and where all the ports will be and cameras and all that stuff. So then they can make cases for them and have them ready, hopefully, for when these phones launch. And so these case makers then leak these things and then people recreate the renders and ship them around the internet. So the LG G6 is now out as a sort of CAD render. And I think that's maybe a sign that it might be coming early. So we saw a report last week, I think, that LG may have moved up the launch of the G6 to get out ahead of everyone for the first time. Because I don't know if you remember, but LG, well, last year they announced the G5 when Samsung announced the S7, but then it didn't launch until April. It was almost a month behind the S7. And so they missed out on this opportunity to compete there. And in years past, wasn't LG doing like a May release? I want to say they were doing like a May launch of like the G4 and 3.
Yeah.
And so they were behind everyone. So this year they're finally going to apparently move it up, but that's not confirmed by any means, but they're sounding like they may move it up and try to launch the phone by the end of February, which is MWC. And so it's kind of hard to tell if that means they're going to announce it that day or like around then, or actually sell the phone that day. If they want to do it early, they need to sell the phone by that day. So anyway, phone rendered, it looks like a more polished version of the G5, I'd say. More metal, less cheap looking, no camera hump, still dual cameras, but flush. No modular anything going on here. It does not look like there will even be a removable battery. No eject button. I think it looks nice. I just don't know that I love the dual camera design. While I appreciate the dual cameras and what they're capable of, because they offer a camera experience that no other phone really can, I just wish there was a way to like hide that lumpy look of the dual camera eyes or whatever it is. But I don't know. What did you think about this? Do you think this looks like a really nice phone, boring phone? Fresh enough?
I actually really like the design. I mean, it's super simplistic, minimal. It's got that rustic vibe. I'm on a big Gordon Ramsay kick right now, so it's rustic. I think it actually looks really good. I would like to say that I commented on that post. I said this looks quite good to me. It was second highest rated comment on there, upvoted. No big deal. I really dig it. You know, of course, I love where the fingerprint reader is on the back. I'm not a big I'm not opposed to that kind of funny looking. They kind of look like eyeballs, and the fingerprint reader is sort of like an O face or something. Like, it doesn't look terrible to me.
It looks better on this than it has on any phone so far, for sure.
I would agree. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It doesn't look like a V20 kind of with that thing a bit more flush.
You mean like this thing with this giant hump thing?
Yeah, see, now that's not
a good look.
It's not the worst look. I'm not disappointed in that design, but yeah, flush would be nice.
Flush would be nice. This is not a good look.
This just looks super minimal and stylish. I think it looks good.
It looks really sleek. I think it looks good.
It does look sleek. I really hope it's not as tall as it appears to be. You know, I want something sort of like compact, especially if it's going to have like the LG logo on the bottom front side with that bezel and then the top bezel. Like, it doesn't need to be this tall. And, you know, they probably have to do that because it's probably a thin phone. So you need to fit the battery somewhere. You know, but
I really wish everyone would stop making things thin, because it could shrink all of the bezels and stuff up if they just go just a little bit fatter. None of us are going to complain if a phone is 10.5 millimeters thick. But we are going to complain if it's 7 millimeters thick and the battery's tiny and everything's flattened out, because no one wants to hold a flat, wide phone. We all hold a smaller, sort of bubblier phone.
It's a good looking phone to me. What else? You know, I mean, right now this is, of course, a CAD render.
So where the spots of everything is probably makes a lot of sense. Sure. Obviously, these are not final pictures or what, but they give us, I think, a pretty good idea what to expect.
Yeah. Kyle Ruggles in the chat says he wants to design like the Turing phone, the phone that does not exist. Hey man, more power to you. I actually kind of like that design too, just because it had like those dragon scales on the back that looked really cool. But as far as I know, that was a total scam. So
yeah, did that phone ever sell? Remember when they flipped from Android? All their backers were like, yeah, we thought we were buying an Android phone, and then they couldn't ship. And then they flipped it. And I wonder if that ever shipped. We stopped following it at that point.
They said they were sending me a review unit like back in the day. They're like, yeah, you'll have your review unit in a couple weeks. And then like I emailed them like a month later, hey, what's going on? And then 6 months later, emailing, hey, what's going on? Never heard back. So I just don't think they...
Joey Rina says they're still sending emails. That's hilarious.
Well, they're doing better than Sega's.
So Tim and I, not to completely get off track, but Tim and I keep up to date on some of these scam Kickstarter, Indiegogo phone companies. Like Turing, I think we stopped because they aren't Android anymore.
Right.
But we still peek in on Sagas. And then my favorite is Comet, the floating smartphone. They're my favorite. None of these phones have shipped from anyone. And Sagas, by the way, remember... So this will be the third CES since they showed off. You know, it was not last year, it was the year before. So this will be at our third CES where Sega, I wonder if they have a booth. Because remember last year they had a booth for some reason. We couldn't really figure that out.
There was like no one. Yeah.
So they showed off a phone. It's really only 2 years ago, but it's the third CES. And that phone they showed off still has not shipped to anyone. That is insane.
Well, they were waiting on FCC approval, and then they were like, oh, yeah, we just got the final build from overseas. Switched
manufacturers like 15 times, and then they supposedly hired their own in-house team, which is like, what does that even mean? You're going to hand build all these? Like, what do you guys... At this point, it seems like they are...
For whatever specs, I mean, and of course, the specs that they still say are shipping have not changed, I think, since the original announcement.
One, I believe, which is like a three-year-old processor. And they're already talking about if you keep your pre-order, because they probably need the money, or they probably don't have the money to refund you. They keep saying that they have a new phone coming with an 820, and you get like a discount or something on it. And it's like, you should just give us these original Sagas phones for free now, or the new phone. I don't know. It is crazy how these fake phone companies just keep scamming people.
Yeah, someone needs to be sued, or, you know, I don't...
I think they're giving refunds on some level, so I don't think anyone can throw too big of a fit, but, like, come on.
I don't know how Kickstarter or Indiegogo could legitimize, you know, what these companies do, but there's got to be something, like, where you need to show proof of capital or something to where...
Well, that's sort of the point, right? You're using these to raise capital. But I agree, there needs to be some other way to make it so people aren't just locking up like $700 with a scam company for 2 years and it's never
legitimate people trying to make a smartphone. Like, we've seen it happen. Robin, Nextbit Robin, they had no problem taking people's money and then delivering a phone that they promised.
They're a bunch of like professionals that have been doing this already. They
of course,
they
X, Google, HTC. Yeah.
They even screwed up a little bit. I think they delivered mostly on time their GSM phone. Remember, they were like, we're going to offer CDMA model. And they got all excited. And then they went, oh, sorry, we got to delay that. And then they just canceled it, I think.
So yeah,
they had some screw ups, but they at least shipped a phone pretty much.
They delivered a phone and it totally works. You know, like, and that's the big difference, I think, here. So. But I would agree. Joey in the chat, he says these companies have ruined crowdsourcing, and I totally agree with that 100%. I don't trust Kickstarter campaigns. Never, no way.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote a piece. It's probably almost a year old now, where I said you're an idiot if you back a smartphone on a Kickstarter thing. It's just stupid. You're never going to get it. By the time you do, it'll be old. I mean, even, like, I try not to pick on Nextbit because they deserve credit for shipping a phone, but even their phone shipped, I think, with like a Snapdragon 808, which was outdated at the time. You know, the camera's not great. It's a cool design. They've updated the software and stuff like that. But even when that phone shipped, it was still pretty much old for its time. I mean, like, the S7 was out with like a Snapdragon 810. You know, like, we'd already gone through a round of upgrades in hardware, but because they kickstarted that thing, they were behind. So,
yeah.
All right. In other render news, like I said, that new Moto X could be a new Moto X. And the images, same thing, CAD renders based off of schematics, probably from a case manufacturer. They show a phone that's, I guess I'm having trouble getting excited about it. As much as I've loved the Moto X line over the years, this one, I don't know what to think yet. Like, these renders show it has a micro USB port. What? Micro USB? I think the Moto G still has a micro USB port, but I would imagine that if you sell a phone in 2017, you probably should use Type C potentially.
Yeah, so, it's one step forward, two steps back. Definitely. Yeah.
And the phone here, personal taste, but it's ugly. The backside, I'm not a fan of. But it's got a puck sort of camera, but definitely no pins or anything. This is not modular. Like, the Moto Z is the modular line, which we know. It's kind of a, like, obviously these are renders, but they're sort of a weird, like, goldish color that's not really the most attractive thing. I don't know. If this is where the Moto X is going, I guess rest in peace, Moto X.
I'm not a huge fan of it. So
yeah, it's got a fingerprint reader though. Finally, after all these years of the Moto X ditching fingerprint readers,
right?
I guess I'll try to withhold too much judgment until this thing actually becomes something real. And Motorola did tell us that the Moto X line wasn't dying.
That's
Which seemed odd, because we thought when the Moto Z was here, Moto X was really dead. And they said, no, it's not dying. So they obviously had something in the works. And this was apparently it.
Yeah, apparently. I think it was like on Twitter, I think there was someone else who said that this could possibly be the Moto C.
There's so many.
I know. It's actually been really hard to follow.
There's a Moto M out there now that's like a mid-range phone.
Yeah, they're all, you know, and I really think that, you know, I love that Moto and Lenovo want to sort of diversify their lineup. But at the same time, you know, when you're not doing good as a company in terms of like bringing in money and selling phones, I think you really need to kind of focus on what the people want and what maybe is good, and maybe focus more on just the Moto Z and like cut 50% of whatever it is you're doing and just focus on the good stuff.
I thought Motorola was on to something for those few years where it was X, G, and E, right? Because E was ridiculously cheap, affordable phone. It still worked fine, but if you needed a $100 phone, it was a good option. And then the G was around that 200 to 300 range, and they were excellent phones for that price. And remember, they used to say, like, this is our record selling phone of all time. Like, they said we sold more of these than any other phone. And then the X was their flagship, and I know we loved them and the world didn't, but it still seemed like they were on to something. And then when Lenovo took over, it was like Lenovo said, well, we hate all of this, and so we're going to change everything. And since they've done that, it's just gone, and it's just like nosedived into the ground. And so that was a simpler approach, right? You had three specific categories. You had a flagship, a mid-tier, and a low tier. Now it's like, I don't even know what they're doing, because the Moto Z has its own three tiers, and then we still have a Moto G, and I think there might be a Moto E. Now there's a Moto M in some countries, and now we might have a Moto X again, which I can't imagine it being a flagship because then it's competing with the Moto Z. It's just so weird. I don't think Lenovo has any idea what to do with smartphones.
Yeah. It's getting rough.
Hopefully they make some good mods because...
Yeah, totally. Bertzer in the chat says, any word on Nokia's latest flagship? You know, I see this asked quite a bit. I don't know if it's like a meme or like a joke that's going around. Like, I don't know anything about Nokia doing an Android flagship or anything like that. They're making
some Android phones in the next year. And I just don't know. You and I don't ever talk about them because, you know, Nokia's been out of the game for a long, long time.
I used to have a Nokia brick back in the day. Everyone loved Nokia.
You know, they made some pretty average Windows phones, and then they're supposedly making Android phones. You and I haven't really gotten into it because, one, I think if they do release anything, I would be pretty surprised if it came here to the U.S. Because, look, if Google can't even get their phones on carriers, how's Nokia going to get their random Android phone on carriers? So I don't know that I would expect them to come here. Number two, I don't know how flagship they'll be. I've seen some people also in comments go like, you guys hate Nokia, and it's like, we don't hate Nokia, they're just irrelevant. I guess that's, you know, we're not to talk about how you and I work, but we're a small team and we pick the big stuff, the stuff that we think you guys want to talk about. Like, we don't have a whole bunch of time to spend talking about irrelevant Nokia Android phones. And if I'm sorry if that's offending anyone, that's sort of the way I feel about them at this point.
Totally.
And they can totally prove me wrong, and we will be Nokia fanboys for life. Yeah. Prove me wrong. But right now, I just don't think it's worth our time to get really excited about Nokia.
Yeah. Nokia was my first smartphone. Nokia was my first cell phone way back in the day. Yeah. So
it's been good, like, what, 15 years since they were relevant? But yeah, it's been a while. Ever since they switched over to Android or Windows phone, it went downhill pretty quickly. Okay. LG V20 news. LG V20. I am going to try to have video review up tomorrow, just in time for 2016 to get out of here. Wow. I know tomorrow is a Saturday, but I kind of want to get it out of the year.
Let's make sure to post it at a time when no one will see it on New Year's Eve and a Saturday. Good going.
Well, I just may post it to YouTube, and then we'll like give it some play on Monday or something. But yeah, so V20 finally sat down to film a review of this thing. I don't want to spoil too much, but I think you guys kind of know how I feel after talking about this for off and on for like 3 months. I've had this phone for so long. I have two of these, actually. Well, one's dead. It's a brick. And I don't know why still that it died. But I've had these for a long time. I'm not a huge fan of the V20. It's ridiculously large, unnecessarily large. And I think partly why I say that is because the LG V34 came out like a couple of weeks after this in Japan only. And it's a normal sized phone for actual normal humans. And it has everything and more. Like, it even has water resistance. So I don't know why this phone had to be this stupidly large. I held it up. Here, I'll show you. I have a Note 7 still sitting here, by the way. I'm a terrible, terrible person.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So like here, Note 7, 5.7 inch display, right? Same size display. Look at the difference in size of these.
Oh, man.
It's just stupid.
And the Note 7 is already pretty tall.
Yeah, it right. So it's like a half inch taller than the Note 7 and like a quarter inch wider, and the battery's smaller. So it's a bigger phone, smaller battery, worse cameras, even though the cameras are fine. I don't get it. The V20, I think... it's not like a terrible phone. I just don't think it's a phone for everyone. I think there's guys that want giant phones, and sure, they also need a DAC because they're audiophiles. And cool, it's for you. I just don't think LG made a phone that's everyone should go out and buy. That's all.
I totally agree with that. Joey,
that's going to piss all the V20 people off because they're really passionate about it. And that's cool that you're passionate about the phone you own. I totally get that. I'm trying not to just hammer on your phone. I just don't think this is a phone for most people. I think it's a small group of people that want giant phones that need a DAC, and that's it. Otherwise, I would say buy just about any other thing.
Yeah. Joey was saying V34 is the LG phone that everyone would have bought. And I actually agree with that. When I was writing up the post, I was like, dude, this would have been the phone that people wanted. So that's LG. I mean, I don't know who's in charge over there, but
yeah, the V34 actually sounds like a really cool phone because it's got all the stuff that LG packed into this thing in a phone that I can package, hold in a hand and put
in a pocket. Yep, jinx.
Yeah, so like Kyle Ruggles says, it's for creators. I know, but like how many creators are out there, right?
Okay, yeah. I mean, well, why limit the phone just to like a tiny niche of people? Big, like Paul Bunyan type men or Rob Gronkowski's who need the DAX and all that stuff. So,
like it has an HD audio recorder for studio recording. Who's in a studio?
Chance the Rapper.
Like, are you just in the studio just recording shit? And if you're in a studio, wouldn't you just use a studio mic? I don't get it.
There's one person always in the studio. It'd be Gucci Mane. That dude drops a mixtape like every other day. So he would buy it.
Apparently.
Shout out to Gooch.
And see, in the RK12, I think he's a V20 owner, and he's like, why the LG hate? It's not really. I think LG for a few years there was doing so good. And then now I just don't know what they're doing. There's no focus. They're just like throwing things, like with the G5 stuff, right? The module. They're just threw out like all this crap. Like, well, they threw out a DAC and then never sold it to anyone. And then they did this like camera grip. Like, what the hell do you need a camera grip for? Your phone takes fine pictures.
Now the grip sucks, damn.
And the grip sucked. And so like, I don't think LG, like they need to focus on making an awesome phone and then like maybe factor in this stuff, or, you know, like they put in a DAC, which is fine. Right. Everyone could use a nice audio experience, but then they're like, that's what they're selling. Like, we have a DAC, we have hi-fi video recording with manual controls. Like, who the hell wants to record video with manual controls? That sounds like hell. So I think I just get frustrated with LG. Just like, I go back to what I first called the V10, the stuff and things phone. Like, they just keep throwing stuff and things out there. And I just don't know that it's for everyone. Like, just make a really good phone. And I don't know that a giant phone like this is getting there. So lots of passion here about it. I think it's because I'm in the middle of filming this review that I'm just passionate about talking about what LG is doing wrong. I just want them to do better. I think they could do better.
That's all we ever want. I mean,
you know, the V34 and the whole conversation probably would have changed.
If we criticize, then they won't know that something is wrong.
Right.
You know, like if we didn't bash the Samsung Galaxy S5 so much, if the world did not bash the S5, maybe Samsung wouldn't have given us, you know, aluminum bodies and glass backs and all that stuff, and we wouldn't be here today.
If we didn't destroy OnePlus on the regular all last year, would we have had Phone of the Year OnePlus 3G?
Probably not. Exactly.
We're helping. Yeah. I'm trying not to offend.
Don't criticize us. Thank us.
I think what gets to me is I think people that buy the phones that you and I don't necessarily praise, they take it personally. And I get it. They've spent lots of money on these phones, and I'm not trying to ever like personally offend you. I just like, as a phone reviewer, I try to go towards phones that I think make the most sense for the most people. And I just don't think the V20 does. That's all.
We hate because we love.
That's right.
Good one, Brandon.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Moving on.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Let's move on. So CES is next week. Oh, at one time it was called the Consumer Electronics Show, but now CES is telling us, no, just call us CES. It's just so weird.
It's a rebrand.
You can't have a name that's three letters that used to stand for something. Yeah. You can't have an acronym that is no longer an acronym, because what's the, like,
it's CES.
Because if somebody goes, well, what's CES? And I go, well, it's a really big consumer electronics show.
So it's consumer electronics. No, it's CES.
It's just CES. Well, what? Yeah. Stupid. Anyway, CES next week. For those who aren't familiar, big tech convention. I think probably the biggest still in the world, like 120, 30, 40,000 people hit Las Vegas every year, first week of January. And a lot of companies show off what they're going to do for the next year. That could be anything from TVs to phones to Blu-ray players to robots and vacuums and cars. And it's everything. It's both fun and crazy and a giant pain, but this year I think could be different. I think it should be fun. Just to guys give you guys an example of sort of what we're doing while we're there, we get in Tuesday morning. And then by Tuesday afternoon, we have press conferences with Honor, which is Huawei's e-brand, and Qualcomm also. So Honor, we're pretty sure, has a new phone on the horizon. I think that's what they've announced that they're going to show off. And Qualcomm is going to be talking a whole hell of a lot this week or next week about the Snapdragon 835, which we expect to be in the Galaxy S8 and probably the LG G6 and every flagship for the first half of the year. So if you're into processor stuff or looking forward to that, Qualcomm is going to, I mean, they've been teasing it for like a week. Like, they're going to talk a lot about the Snapdragon 835. So that's next Tuesday. We got those. We have some other briefings that I can't tell you about. And then we have just some other stuff going on in the evening. But then when next Wednesday is big press day, like LG has a press conference, Samsung has a press conference, Intel, ZTE, Sony, like all these companies have press conferences. And we'll go to some of these things, assuming they aren't going to be a waste of everyone's time. And they'll be streamed mostly, so we'll make sure you guys can watch this stuff. And then in the evening, like, we get to go see like Qualcomm showing off VR stuff. And there's other events, like hopefully NVIDIA will or Huawei will, like all these companies do things. So it's going to be a busy time. Even Xiaomi is hosting, I think, one of their first ever CES events. And I think they have phones to unveil. So maybe they'll announce some US plans or something. T-Mobile's doing a new Un-carrier event. So that's happening. Not much from Verizon or AT&T that we know of, but what else is going on? Huawei has a keynote. Qualcomm has another keynote. There's lots of stuff going on. I think it's actually going to be one of the better CESs in the last couple of years. That's my prediction anyway.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, last year was pretty slow. The major takeaway from last year was gold Nexus 6P for the US. It was at first Japanese exclusive. That was
basically the biggest moment of the whole week.
Version
of a phone we already owned, yeah.
At least this year now we get, you know, Snapdragon 835 and all this other stuff going on, and hopefully new NVIDIA Shield TV. So there's potentially a lot of cool stuff on the horizon. So I'm looking forward to it. Although I will say, more importantly, the parties this year are looking really, really light. The last few years, there's always like party after party. This year, not that many parties. So,
or we're just not cool enough to get invited to them.
Oh, we would be invited, please. So yeah, if anyone's in Vegas and knows of all on the down low with the parties, hit us up on the old twit twat.
Or if you're in Vegas next week and you want to drink beer, we will be drinking beer.
You could probably find us doing that.
We probably do that.
I'm always down to drink beer with like someone who knows us and wants to like talk. That's always cool. I love that. So the first year, story time with Tim. First time at CES, me and Mr. Pickles, Tim, we went to like an Android like fanboy meetup. And it was amazing.
There's a lot of Android players that are now like pretty involved in other Android sites and other stuff that you guys probably know. I don't necessarily want to call them out. I don't know if that's fair to them, but yeah, there was like it was on the low key, right? But now
it was super low key, and it was in Old Town, which is like, it was probably like the most like the cheapest place to find like a little space to rent out or whatever. But super low key, super chill. And we all just drank beer and talked about what was coming next. I remember like the story going around was that BlackBerry was coming to Verizon or something. This was like
breaking. Windows phone, I think.
Oh yeah, Windows. And it was some exclusive. Yeah, but it was the iPhone. Oh man, that was good times. Shout out to Pickles, Dr. Root.
Yeah, I just remember Pickles. Yeah, so we'll have a good time at CES. So yeah, if you're around, you can always hit us up on Twitter. Our personal accounts are probably easier to hit us up through Twitter.
Yeah, I check my mentions, unlike other people. I'm always around.
Yeah, so CES should be fun. We're there from Tuesday through Saturday. And CES runs from basically Thursday, at least the conference floor, through Sunday. So if you know anyone that's going to CES and they don't get back to like Sunday or Monday, be nice to them because they've had a long, long week.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I wouldn't expect... it's not like you're going to get the Galaxy S8. You're not going to get the G6. So you're not going to get any of that stuff at CES. Those days of that stuff happening are long, long behind us. but you'll just get other techie news. Like I said, you're going to get a bunch of news about the Snapdragon 835, and you'll get phones from Honor and Xiaomi, and T-Mobile's doing on Carrier. So you're going to actually have some cool news, I think, out of it. But don't go into this expecting a whole bunch of flagship phones that you're going to want to buy. That just doesn't happen. That'll happen 2 months afterwards, basically.
Pretty much.
MWC and all that around that time. So
yeah.
Yeah. That's CES. Is there anything else to share with CES?
CES, anything to share? Not that I can think of right off. I mean, it's going to be a blast. It always is. Even if CES is boring, we make it fun. Damn it.
Yeah, we always have a good time at CES, even if there's no news out of that. But you guys understand that. We're in Vegas just hanging out. So
yeah. And then NWC taking place here pretty shortly. And that's going to be just a whole other crazy week. So yeah.
Yes, it is. What are we most excited about CES?
Dinner.
Yeah, the food and beer we'll eat and drink.
I like the food in Vegas. It's really good. Quality is top notch.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a food capital of the world. I would say I'm excited about, just looking at it, I'm excited to see what Xiaomi does, just in case they actually are coming to the U.S. Really? Or something other than an Android TV box. I was hoping that NVIDIA would announce their new Shield that's been rumored, because I really want a new Shield TV. So I would love to see that happen, but I don't know if that's actually going to happen or not. Otherwise, I don't know. I think I'm just excited to go walk around the floor actually this year, because I think there's just some good gadgets out there to be fondled.
Yeah, I actually agree. We've been trying to stay away from the floor as much as possible, but I think this year I actually do want to take a nice little tour of it. Mm-hmm. And see what's going on in those back corners, where all the good stuff is going on. So I guess if I had to look forward to one thing, it's actually nice just seeing like industry friends. You know, we've been going to these shows for quite a few years now, so you get to know the same people, and a lot of people that work for these companies are always like nice people. So it's nice just to like say hi, what's up, and just reconnect after a year, and you know, talk about new stuff that's going down. So
I think this is our 8th CES.
Really?
That's insane. Because I think our first one... Is that possible? No, it's not. It's our 7th.
7th, yeah.
It's our 7th. We started in 11.
That's crazy.
7th CES.
Riggs is asking if we're going to Snapchat. Anyway, Snapchat it. No.
We're pretty much on Instagram only. But
yeah, we're
Instagram stuff, probably.
Yeah, we'll have an Instagram story for you. I'll take you all around the place. I'll show you everything. It's going to be legit.
Yeah, so follow us on Instagram for sure. We haven't gotten into the old Snapchat with Droid Life.
Yeah. Kyle wants to know if we would like a toke. Nah, man. In Oregon, but nah.
It's funny. All right, did you want to talk about Super Mario?
Yeah, of course. As everyone knows, Super Mario Run is coming to Android, and pre-registration is now live on Google Play for anyone and everyone who wants to meet up and play Super Mario Run. It's been an iOS exclusive. However, my feeling is that, you know, Nintendo never gave us a time frame of when to expect it. They just said 2017. But I'm thinking it's coming soon. You know, pre-registration usually takes place a couple to a few weeks before it goes live. And really, I think if the game was doing any better on iOS, it would probably stay there a little bit longer. But you know, from all the reviews I'm hearing, like, it's sort of mixed, right? Like like people are happy that it's Super Mario, but aren't happy necessarily with the overall experience. So I'm really interested to see how the Android crowd really kind of takes to it, especially with that $10 buy-in for the full game. You get a couple of levels for free once you download. But then $9.99 to buy the whole thing, please. Like, that's why they held off, dude. They're like, Android users are cheap as hell. Yeah. They are not going to be happy about $10. But, you know, what else are you going to do? Also, when I announced that the registration was live on Google Play, I likened it to Temple Run. And I just wanted to sort of, like, clarify my thought process behind that, in that it is like Temple Run. Unlike other games where you actually have to physically or like press a button to move your character, Mario just runs. You can't stop him, and you can change the direction he goes, and you can control his jumps. Other than that, he just runs. You can't stop him. So in that sense, taking everything else like out of the equation, it is like Temple Run.
Did you get some hate for calling it like Temple Run?
They said, someone said, this game is like so not like Temple Run. And like, how could you even say that? And then another guy said, oh, well, Tim is only likening it to Temple Run because that's the only game he knows and he is simple-minded. So, of course, I took it totally personal and was like, screw you, man. Like, that's it really is funny. Like Temple Run. So, to me, it's like Temple Run. Either way, I'm looking totally forward to it. And I'm definitely going to play it. So, Temple Run.
I'll probably play it for 5
Super minutes. Mario.
If it's any good. But yeah, so far, the early reviews haven't really said much good about it, I don't think.
Yeah, and it is sort of like an endless runner, minus the fact that Super Mario Run has levels. I mean, give Temple Run levels. Well,
Temple Run's
and like that's it.
From behind, third person, and sure. Mario's side to side endless runner.
Yeah, endless runner, but it has levels. I don't know. These people are freaking anal.
Yeah, people are just mean anyway.
People are just mean. But yeah, it's going to be a good time. Super Mario Run, as soon as it's live on Google Play for everyone to download, I'll be sure to let everyone know. So
yeah. All right, cool. Anything else?
Man, be safe on New Year's.
2016, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 2016, there's a lot to say, right? I love everyone that died, like Carrie Fisher, Bowie, Prince, Lemmy. All these dudes, some good people. I don't blame 2016 personally, because 2017 is probably going to suck too. But rest in peace, man, to all those people. There's some great people.
Well, yeah, definitely lost some good people. Yeah, I don't have any final thoughts of 2016, I don't think.
Wow. Be strong and silent type.
Yeah. I just don't think anyone wants to hear, that's all. I just hope that everyone's safe on New Year's Eve.
I agree.
And that 2017 is awesome.
Alan Rickman. Awesome. Oh, man, thanks for... Yeah, that was a pretty depressing year.
Yeah, it was. In a very many ways, so... Yeah. And we'll still be here, though, in 2017, doing this. Bringing you all the good stuff. So, be safe tomorrow night if you do go out. Do not drive anywhere, people. It is not worth it.
I'm sure every town is giving out free cab rides and Uber rides and all that, so take advantage.
Or just sleep in the bathroom somewhere. Whatever you got to do, just don't do it.
Nice.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Droid Love Show. Peace.
Bye-bye.